Great, everyone. Calling the meeting to order. Karen, have you taken attendance?
Yes, I have.
Thank you. I'd like a motion to move into closed session for the discussion of real estate.
So moved.
Thank you, Scott.
Second.
Thank you, Corinne. Any discussion? All right, roll call.
Trustee Lingam.
Yes.
Trustee Moore.
Yes.
Trustee Sullivan.
Yes.
Trustee Trudeau.
Yes.
Trustee Vanderburg.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes, and we're going to move into the other room for closed session. Plan to be back around 7:30 for the rest of the open meeting. All right. All right, we are reconvening for the continuation of our regular meeting, and we have retaken attendance. Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Seconded.
Thank you. Any comments, discussion? All right, all in favor of the agenda, please say yes.
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 Any opposed? All right. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Thank you. Any discussion of the consent agenda? All in favor, say yes.
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 Any opposed? All right. Have we any citizens' comments? Great. Anything from online that we need to address?
No, not yet.
Great. All right. Moving right along to financial reports.
Okay. All right. So the financial reports begin on page 31 of your packet. A few things I want to draw your attention to because these are our first reports from our new accounting system. This is the first new accounting system we've had in 20 years. And we are very excited to be joining the modern era with some of the software. So one thing in particular is that you will now see bank drafts show up in the check register. It used to only be checks. As you can imagine, there's a number of vendors who we do not pay by check anymore. Those now show up in this. You can see starting there on page 31, number of bank drafts, most of them utilities, you know, the major purchases for insurance payments and such. Some of the rent is bank draft as well. Westgate rent is still paid via check. So you'll see those there on those lists. Now there's one thing that you'll see that I wanna make sure you understand. And that is if you look on page 37 of your packet, okay? You can see some of these here where it says Baker Taylor, void, okay? What's happening there, Baker and Taylor is our largest vendor. We basically buy almost all the books that go into the library's collection come from Baker and Taylor. When we are sending Baker and Taylor a check, it is usually against tens of invoices, sometimes hundreds of invoices. So it's like it's one check and it will list all of the different invoices. With the new system, the way that it handles multi-page documents is it voids the next check and prints all the remaining invoices on there. So what you're seeing here are not actually voided checks. You can see they were all for zero. It's that our check stock, which is numbered, are using those to print all the additional information about all the other invoices that that check is supposed to go to. So anytime you see Baker and Taylor, you're gonna see a lot of voids right after it because that's just how the paper comes out of the printer. It voids some of those checks. We're working on moving away from pre-printed check stock, which will solve that problem, but it's not a rush. So that's the deal with Baker and Taylor. Then what I'd like to do is we will skip over the July financials and go right to the August financials because that's the most recent information. So if you look on page 47, so our cash increased $6.1 million in July and August because most of our tax revenue came in. So we currently, cash on hand is $11 million. Our received so far $13 million in tax revenues, which is about 70% of our annual budget. That's pretty normal for this time of year. So we're in a good spot. Some more checks have just come in recently, and we'll see, should be up around 90% over the next month or two. You can see that our fund balance is staying pretty steady. That's the free balance moved from $5.9 million, $5.982 million down to $5.960 million. So we're in a very similar position as far as that goes. One thing on page 49 on the balance sheet, we are working on an issue with the new accounting system where accounts payable, and if the check doesn't go out the same month that the account payable was credited for, it's carrying it over weird. So that negative number there for general fund under accounts payable on page 49, that's not correct. We do not have a positive amount of accounts payable as the case may be. So, but we are working with the vendor to get that reporting issue resolved. However, everything looks good on page 50, which is the statement of revenues and expenditures, tells us how we're doing on the budget. Again, you can always look at that far right top column, tells you how far through the year we are. We're 16.6% through the year. And then if you look down at our expenditures, any of those that are over 16.6 are running ahead of budget. Any of them that are under 16.6 are running behind budget. So you can see accounting and audit is running a little ahead of budget. That's because the audit happens early. That's something that we've already paid some money out on. Purchase services, similarly, a lot of those things are purchased at the beginning of the year. So those purchases have already hit the expense. Materials, we got off to a jump because we had been delayed while we were making through the transition. So we were doing a lot of purchasing to catch up. So, and also there's a number of those that are big purchases. Again, like all the subscription databases, we write them a big check at the beginning of the year. Next line down, software licenses, similar. We write, you know, big checks at the beginning of the year, same sort of thing. Copier expense, again, we make the payment to them. I think it's quarterly. So that's something that I'm not surprised to see running a little bit ahead. And then postage running just a little bit ahead, but that is a very small line item. And that's, again, because we only refill the postage meter a couple times a year. So that's probably what part of that was there as well. But overall, our total expenditures are 15% of the budgeted amount, which at 16.6% through the year means we're doing a little bit under budget, which is what we want to see. And that is the financial report. Any questions?
How is the new system going?
It's good. You know, I mean, it's got its own little catches, things that we're learning about. But overall, it's much more modern. It's way easier for us to see where we're at budgetary-wise. You know, we're working on getting the process streamlined. One thing that's nice about it is that it allows us to have as many users as we want. It's not licensed per user, which means we don't have to have shared users, which is always better from a security standpoint to not have shared users. It has a lot of functionality for P cards, purchasing cards, which we do not use at all currently. And what we're planning to do is look at some modernizations involving that, moving away from paper checks, talk all that over with the auditors when they come to present their result, make sure that our things we want to modernize are things that the auditors are comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about making some changes over the course of this year, using some more of the capabilities of the system. It's a little weird for us to always be doing requisitions and checks for $6 to $7 for pipe cleaners. You know, it's like that's an opportunity made for a purchasing card. And there's a lot of infrastructure built into the system to be able to make it, you know, very fraud proof. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk some more about that as we get ready to make some changes. Thank you. Good question. Any other questions about finances? Okay.
All right. Thank you, Eli. That moves us on to the library report.
Okay.
Also presented by Eli.
All right. So here's our new format for the monthly report based on all of your feedback. I would just want to set the stage for this a little bit, is that the new monthly report will have generally 4 to 6 slides in each of 4 categories: operations, productions, relationships, and feedback. So productions being things that the library makes happen, you know, the content that we produce, sometimes events, but generally we prefer events as more operational. Then relationships, things that we're working out with new partners and things like that in town, and then feedback from the public. But we're also trying to get away from basically showing you all of the adorable Instagram tweets, posts, because there's just too many of them. And, you know, it can give an impression that we're cherry picking, but it's really just like our feedback is overwhelmingly positive. So we're going to try to offset that by showing you some complaints every once in a while. So
thank you.
So there's modular slide types that can fit into multiple of these categories. So you'll see some things show up in multiple ones of these categories. We'll generally include some stats, service updates, if there's any upcoming events that you might want to be aware of, as well as a monthly staff spotlight, just highlighting someone from the organization who you probably don't know. Now, when a slide speaks to strategic plan trends, values, or initiatives, that will appear in the top right. And you can see that here in the top right. It's very faint. I'll make that a little bit, now I can actually see it on the screen, make that a little larger. However, there's one thing that you're not going to see called out in the monthly report, and those are the words diversity, equity, or inclusion, because those are permeated with everything we do. We have our internal checklist where we will make sure that we are talking about things that speak to a more diverse staff, providing equitable access to inclusive services throughout the report. But that's not something that we want to say, there's one, check, right? We're trying to move away from kind of the commodification of that and recognizing it as ongoing work that permeates all facets of what we do. So you'll see a lot of those things, but we're not going to be calling them out and waving a flag around them. All right. So when there are strategic plan things, you'll see in the top right show whether it's from trends, values, or initiatives. Just to remind you, the trends in the strategic plan are the digital revolution, basically the increasing digitization of processes and interactions, demographic shifts in our community, income inequality in our community, social isolation, and sustainability. The values are welcoming, equitable, open, responsible, and adaptive. And the initiatives are a strong downtown presence, independence, and living our values. So many times I'm not going to show initiatives when the initiative is living our values. I'm just going to say values. So there you will see that as we go through. So that's the overview of this. So let's jump into it. Under operations, here's our stat of the month, and it's summer game stats. We hit this year 10,114 active summer game players. Our previous high was 9,491 in 2019. That's great, terrific growth. 300,000 badges were earned by these players. They created over 1,000 lawn and library codes. Previously in 2020, that was barely 600. So that's a pretty big increase. 1.5 million code redemptions, 233 million points earned, 2,700 t-shirts ordered. And I'm gonna give you a trigger warning to Rich that I'm gonna talk about Panda Pants, which has been a constant challenge over and over again, trying to keep the pandas in stock. So we did have orders for 1,600 pandas. The last shipment, we believe we have obtained the final allotment of pandas in the U.S. promotional products market.
And
they are coming this way.
One of my children, of my two children, got the panda that they ordered, and the other one did not.
So I apologize for the resulting discord in your household. But more pandas are coming. They are coming. Here's another operation.
Wait, there's no picture of this panda? What on earth are you even talking about?
We're not entirely sure that the panda actually exists.
I don't have young children in my household.
It's a little panda with an AADL hoodie.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. I'd want one.
You can't have one.
No. They're all
Earlier this year, we helped the Internet Archive take position of an acquisition of about 8,000 VHS tapes recorded of broadcast TV through the 90s and the noughts. This was something that a local person had done as their hobby slash calling. And they, when they, I believe, passed away, their storage locker where they had been keeping this needed to be cleaned out quickly. And Internet Archive successfully acquired the collection, but didn't have a place to put it. So rather than schlepping it down the stairs into somebody's basement, we said, you know, we have a warehouse, we can help with this. So we contacted the Internet Archive, said that we could help them store this temporarily. We helped them move it into our facility. Scott helped. I think Scott was there that day.
Yep.
And then we kept it in our facility while we were waiting for them to be ready to pick it up. And so we stored it, we restacked them onto the pallets, and we provided a couple of heat-treated pallets, and then they came and picked it up just last week. So those tapes are off to the Internet Archive's secure storage facility in an undisclosed location until someday they will be subsumed into their corpus. And it's a lot of local TV and, well, very little, like, because during this period, there was no Ann Arbor media, but it's Southeast Michigan media and lots of recordings off of television. Wow. And there's certainly things in that collection that have never been recorded before.
Cool.
So that's a great thing. We're happy to be able to help them out. I wanted to give you a heads up about a service outage that we're currently dealing with out at Traverwood. It was terribly bad timing because right at the same time that Huron Parkway went under construction, our elevator died. And it was no longer able to be operated, and it needs a new pump and it needs a new motor. That's not a big deal other than the fact that we can't get a pump and we can't get a motor. So we are working on this with the vendor, but at this point we're hoping to have parts delivered by the end of November, still another 2 months away. Fortunately, the construction is almost completed. You can see what it looks like. That's a photo from earlier today. They still have to do the top layer, which will be one more closure. But as of right now, the street spots are open, so people are able to park up top and enter through the main front doors. We just wanted to let patrons and board know that we are, if anyone needs any assistance, we are running holds out to their cars. If they're not able to use the elevator, if they come down below and they find out the elevator's not there, we can bring stuff down to them. You know, we are doing whatever we can to help patrons be able to access the library during this time while we are waiting for these parts and while the parking is disrupted. So just kind of a perfect storm situation out of Traverwood, but the end is near, at least in terms of how the parking goes. And here's our staff spotlight for this month. This is Dennis Goodall. Dennis is a safety assistant. He's worked for us for 15 years as of October 25th. And we ask everybody this question, what do you wish people you work with knew about you? And he says, I'm a friendly, positive, and caring person. And I assure you, everybody who works with him knows about that. So Dennis is terrific. He's worked for us for a long time and is a great part of the safety team. All right, so now from productions, an event report. So we had three events that were all pretty much in the last week of September. These two things were back to back. We had Dashka Slater, who's the author of The 57 Bus, which is the topic of our big gay read. We had Shirley Ann Higuchi, who was a Curon grad and writes a lot about, her book is called Setsuko Secret, which is about Japanese internment camp. And then we had Suad Amiri, and that was on September 22nd as well. We had 129 people total across those three events on 2 days. Shirley Ann Higuchi's event is viewable on YouTube. We also have a staff discussion of the 57 bus event that is also available on YouTube. You can watch those as well. For upcoming events, we have a very special event coming up Friday, October 21st. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell in conversation with Congressman Jamie Raskin about his new memoir, Unthinkable, Trauma, Truth, and the Trials of American Democracy. Literati brought this one to us. We're very excited for this event. And this is going to be a great event on Friday, October 21st. The Washtenaw Reed has chosen their book for 2023. It's called Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. You can check that out at washtenawreads.org. And then our Halloween costume is coming up on Sunday, October 30th. That's our costume contest will be during the Downtown Treat Parade, which is on October 30th. We will be doing our regular puppet shows in the lobby on the 31st, because this organization does not endorse the moving of Halloween for parental convenience. We are happy to participate in alternate Halloween dates, but there's only one Halloween date, and that's when our puppet shows happen. So on, and you know, they are intended for preschoolers, and that is the audience that comes. So it is not a school-age kid event that we've done for years. It is a preschool event. And we have typically had as many as 600 kids at each one of those two showings. So that will be a big show in the lobby on the 31st, and hopefully my awesome new costume will arrive. All right. AADL observes and celebrates. Often when we're either observing or celebrating either a month or a day or things like that, we just want to let you know what's going on with those things. We are observing National Hispanic Heritage Month from September 15th through October 15th. We've got some more information about that, inspiring quotes, staff picks for adults and kids, and information about the numerous cultures that are reflected and honored during this month. So you can find out more about that at aedl.org/Hispanic Heritage Month. Here's something I just want to let you all know about. I think we had talked about this when they first asked us, which was back in the mid-pandemic, maybe early 2021. But AADL story times are in regular rotation on Detroit Public TV's over-the-air broadcast of what they call the Michigan Learning Channel. And this is just a screenshot from one of our staffers who lives up north, where they still send out program guides. And so he was able to take a photograph from us of the print guide, and there it is, AADL Storytime on TV, on broadcast. Every weekday at 7:30 p.m., an AADL Storytime is broadcast here in Southeast Michigan. If you have an air over-the-air antenna, you can watch it at channel 56.5, and you can see it is across the whole state. Every part of the state can get this channel. It's just different channels in different markets. Moving on to relationships, AADL in the community. So just a few highlights of these over the past few months. We've been part of Ann Arbor Pride, WISD event, the staff AAPS staff kickoff event, as well as an event at the Clements Library. And here's Jacob and Marissa from our outreach team with some small red dog. He doesn't look that big to me, but that's Clifford. That was at, I believe, the WISD event. Here's a new partnership. This is something that we just launched this past weekend. Our production archives and communications and marketing team have been working with the Turner African American Services Council, which is part of Michigan Medicine, on their intergenerational dialogue on the Great Migration. So we did very much the same sort of model that we've done with AACHM for years, and we used some of the contacts that Turner had to get us connected with a very specific focus. And it was great because it's a much more focused interviews than many of these are, which are usually more about everyone's entire life. And just specifically about their experiences through the Great Migration. I believe there are 8 videos that we just released for that. And that's a great project. We're very happy to make a new partner there. Here's a partnership report from a long-term partner, the Ann Arbor Area Transportation Association. The free ride weekends with both us and Ypsilanti District Library, they registered 2,500 free rides. And that's just on the weekends from June 11th through August 28th. That's terrific. In our experience, a lot of those people are riding the bus for the first time. We love to see that happen. The Spot the Ride badge, which was, you could earn it by seeing the code that was on the outside of the buses. There were 10 buses that had the ad on the outside. That badge was redeemed 5,500 times. That was our number one most redeemed badge. So a lot of people saw the buses and got familiar with them. And then also the Ride Forward badge, which you can find information on their website, was earned almost 2,400 times. So that was a really terrific level of engagement with people in the bus system. Here's an update from one of our call for artists. As you may remember, we published 4 public domain works this past year where we commissioned covers that we did a call for artists to apply for. This is the cover of The Souls of Black Folk by W.E.B. Du Bois. And this is a Grand Rapids area creator, Alfield Reeves. And he posted a great making of video when he was taking that photograph. And this is his portrait that he posted to Twitter with his cover. He was really delighted by this. It was great to have wonderful feedback. And that video that he posted of the making of is a terrific video as well. Here's our mention of the month. It's the perfect pairing of letterpress and the summer game. And this is the quote from the patron. My girlfriend and I met at one of your letterpress events. And she just asked me to go to Q-prom, queer prom for adults, with a summer game code. I said yes with a letterpress printed yes on a summer game card. So these are super patrons. And it was terrific for them to share that story with us. Here's another quick mention of the month. A PhD student at Yale studying drug policy stopped by the downtown library just to see the Narcan vending machines in the lobby. Here's her tweet and her quote. I'm sorry, yes, her tweet. Her quote was, happy I got to visit AEDL's Narcan vending machine as part of my Michigan vacation. Glad to see the great work being done. Hope we start to see this everywhere. Our partner, Home of New Vision, has reported to us that the vending machine in the downtown library has distributed 1,182 Narcan kits since it was installed in April, which we are delighted to hear. And we are in discussions with them about expanding it. They want to add some different items into the vending machine. And we're also talking about if there are alternate ways that we can distribute the kits at other locations without the footprint of a vending machine. So we can have some of the branches. And we're talking about how best to do that. Finally, here's your complaint of the month. So this is via text, and this is what our text interface looked like. And someone said, are there fines for overdue books anymore? Which we all know is a very loaded question at this point. So they got their response 4 minutes later. And when this response was, hello, we're not currently charging late fees for our materials. If you request an interlibrary loan, though, we do charge late fees or materials we've borrowed from different library systems. Does this info give you what you need here? And her response was, yes, thank you for your response. I think that fines should be imposed on overdue materials. Otherwise, there's no incentive to return them, and other patrons have to wait and wait and wait sometimes. This is the only thing that we hear about this. However, in our experience, we found that the overdue fees were never very effective at returning the long overdue items. And really, the collection agency has been. That's what has been working well to be able to actually get stuff back. We had a lot of stuff come back since we resumed that service over the past year. So just to let you know, people are saying this occasionally, it mostly affects patrons when they want something that we only have one copy of, right? And if that one copy is in someone's house and they're not bringing it back, there's not really much we can do about that. And the fees were never an effective tool. So that's where I'm with that. We are talking about some ways to publicize this change, which we've been talking about for a while. And we've got some ideas. And we'll have some more information about that for you in future months. And that's this month's report. Any questions or feedback?
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is maybe too in the weeds, but like, I would not mind if you emailed me a lot after I don't return something. Like the reminders every time I get one is like, oh, right, the library book.
You know, we have had for years a desire to develop a patron, some patron options on that how it works. We haven't gotten there yet from a development perspective. One of the problems is it's really hard to get one size fits all because some people are like, how dare you? I know I've got it and I'm going to bring it back someday. You know, so it's like, it's really hard to balance that. But we know that some people would really like that every day. The other thing is that we are really seeing returning or declining returns on email as a communications method.
Oh, sure.
You know, we're just seeing that that's, you know, kind of drifting away as a way to reliably reach people. So as a person who lives and dies by email, it's very wistful. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you all very much.
All right. That takes us to new business. And we have a few resolutions in front of us tonight for construction at Parkland Plaza. The first of which is page 52, or the supporting documents on page 52. And I think in order to do this, we start with you, Len, and then we fill in the pertinent information for the resolution. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Terrific. Take it away.
Okay, so we did have, if you remember, we went out to bid for steel and the foundation work first. We didn't want to release it all until we had seen the total bid tabulation, which we have. The bid has closed. We extended HVAC by 2 weeks, but now we've kind of seen all the numbers and where we are, and we're within budget. So now we're ready to start releasing some things, and steel and foundation work is first on the list. So on the steel portion, we had three responses. Our recommendation with O'Neill after vetting everyone would be to go with cast steel at $298,000, which is also the low bid.
So
it's 336.
I'm sorry. You are correct. Yes. I'm sorry. It's 336,515.
And how are you making distinctions between, you know, quality and bid in this case?
A lot of this, since this is more, this is hard steel and erection. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a lot of the vetting with O'Neill and vendors they've used before. We've put a lot of stuff out to bid, but we've never, put a two-story steel building inside of another building. So these are folks they've worked with and came highly recommended. They were aware of all of the responses. They've worked with everyone before, had no issues with any of the vendors, but felt going with the low bid would keep us in on budget.
And Len, is that vendor a union shop?
Yes. So here's what I've learned about the steel work. A lot of the fabrication, the shop itself, they're not all union, but all of the workers and anyone that's going to be on the site erecting all of the structure, all of those are union workers.
Additional questions?
Do we know what the lead time is?
Remember we committed $50,000 to the shop work for the steel roofing, which is basically mm-hmm. the subfloor for the concrete, honestly. Yeah. That was only the long lead time. Everything else is just a couple months. The heavy steel wasn't as long as the sheeting. It was the thinner, the roofing material. You're seeing a year, year and a half now. But we did commit to that through the shop drawings.
All right, I'm going to read the resolution towards this amount. The board resolves to authorize O'Neill Construction to award structural and miscellaneous steel work to Cass Steel in the amount of $336,515. We have a motion to accept this resolution.
So moved.
In a second?
Seconded.
Thank you. Any additional discussion, questions before we take a vote?
Can you just remind us what this is for?
This is the actual, all the beams for the verticals and for the floor, and then all the steel decking, and then the foundation work would be saw cutting the floor to accept the vertical beams, and then the shoring of the roof The other thing we learned through the bid process, there's actually 3/4 rebar between the columns. So we need to shore the roof until the foundations are poured back in, because that's all part of the original structural design.
Got it.
Cool.
All right. All in favor of this resolution, say yes.
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 Any opposed? Great. Resolution passed. Let's buy some steel. All right, moving on. We're looking at a resolution for concrete and earthwork at the Parkland Plaza. What have we got here?
So this is the foundation piece. This will be done prior to any steel going up. This will be the saw cutting of the floor. This does include the shoring of the roof to accept all of the steel.
And which are you recommending?
We are recommending Amalio Corporation.
Okay.
And there were 2 responses on this one. I think you see that.
Yep. I'll read the resolution. To authorize O'Neill Construction to award cast in place concrete and earthwork to Amalio in the amount of $128,600. That the expenditure be authorized from the capital fund, and that all resolutions, parts, resolutions that conflict with the provisions of this resolution are rescinded. Can I have a motion for this resolution?
So moved.
Thank you. In a second?
Seconded.
Discussion, questions?
Can you just tell us more about why this one instead of the other one?
Same thing. These are both, I've heard of both of these folks, big companies. This is different than the steelwork. These are both all union companies. Everyone, there's a scale for flat work and foundation work. They are all union companies. And again, with recommendations from O'Neill. And we didn't get as many responses we would have liked. It went out to quite a few more people. But to have 2, and again, to stay within budget, Amalia was you know, probably the better decision.
Also looks like they're a little bit faster.
Yes.
Procurement and fabrication.
Maybe you can come and get them to do my driveway at the same time.
They're in Southfield, I believe.
Any further questions, comments, discussion? All right, then. All in favor of the resolution, say yes.
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 Any opposed? There are none. Off you go. Thank you.
Next steps.
Yeah.
I'll warn you. There are 17 total categories in the bid pack.
Hooray. So
we've awarded 2. We have 15 to go. November's meeting, hopefully we'll be able to release the remaining categories.
Okay.
And they said we did extend HVAC 2 weeks, so that'll close this Wednesday.
Okay.
And it's just, we didn't have a lot of responses and we wanted to make sure we got that scope perfect. So
we will vote on every one of those 17, do you think, because they will be over the...
Yes. Yeah. Well, there are some that are under, and I've seen all the results. There's one for epoxies and sealants. We had 0 responses.
Huh.
And that value is probably around $8,000. So we're going to have a conversation there. But we had another category that was just the sealants. We had 1 response, and that's for $3,500. So you probably won't see every one of them, but you'll see most of them.
Okay.
Most of them are. Great. Like there's finishes, I think that's under $10,000, but doors and hardware, things like the jams, that's all over. The glazing and glass is all over. Fortunately, once you get past the steel, we've worked with a lot of these contractors.
Yeah, so we have a track record.
When we
yeah.
say names, you'll have heard them before.
Great.
So be perfect. Prepared for November.
Most of the money will be in the HVAC. That is
yes.
by far yeah. the most complicated and expensive part of this project is the geothermal.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
Yeah, there's an excavation piece there, plus they all have to subcontract a well driller. So there's 3 parts to that. We'll only see 1 number because they are responsible for all of it, but that will be...
Oh, all the subcon.
Yeah, but that will be a significant number.
Terrific.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Any additional citizens' comments? Okay. I just want to check in because it's good. We got a little off of our schedule with some
unforeseen circumstances. So we have our next meeting on the October 24th. I will once again not be available for that date. And so I'm just we just wanna check in and see about quorum. So please, if you have a conflict, either voice it now or let Eli and Karen know as soon as possible. And then we have the next meeting in November on the Monday after the holiday on the 28th. And that kind of takes us through, and then we will decide in November on a December meeting, which sometimes we do or don't have, depending on the business that needs to be done.
And for the October
24th. Yep.
Is that going to be at 7 p.m.?
Yes, that's the plan at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do not plan to have closed session that day. Which means that Vice President will have to run the meeting. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.